Vicky Phelan. Her name is synonymous with courage, truth and determination. Her death yesterday at the age of 48 from cervical cancer brought great sadness across the country. Even though most had never met her, we all felt we knew her. She was told in 2017 that she had terminal cancer, that she had 6 months to a year to live. She and her doctors found new drugs which would prolong her life. As we heard that her tumours shrank, we silently gave thanks. She then went to the United States for new treatments. But shortly after she came home last year, she decided she was going to live the rest of her life with her family rather than in hospital. Around this time last year, Vicky spoke to Ryan Tuberty on The Late Late Show about that decision.
I spoke to my oncologist when I made the decision not to have any more chemotherapy. I mean, I think he was hoping I'd have a few more sessions. And I just said, no, I'm not doing this to my kids. I'm not doing this to myself. You know, at this stage, you know, I've been fighting this terminal part of the disease since 2018. This is my fourth line of treatment. Most people don't get to four lines of treatment. You know, they might get to three lines. But when you get to four lines of treatment, what that means is this is my fourth time trying something different. There's nothing they can do for you, you know. So I just thought, no, I'm not doing this. I can't do this anymore. So to put up the post, yeah. I felt better and I thought, okay, you know, I needed to do it. And like the flood of messages that I got in from people who said to me, you know, I admire what you're doing. One woman really stuck with me. She told me she was 10 when her mother died. So same age as what my son is now. And that was why it stuck with me. And she said, I remember, she said, all I have, she said, of my mother, memories of my mother, she said, of her being thrown in bed, sick and suffering. She said, I think what you're doing is so brave. She said, I would rather have had a shorter time with my mother, but more quality. And I just think, you know, those kind of messages to me really validate what I'm doing. And I think for me, it's the right thing. I know it's not for everybody, but for me, I just think, no, I would rather my children have memories of doing stuff with me. And if I go sooner, so be it.
Well, we are joined this morning by Vicky's friend and a man who knows grief and heartbreak all too well because of cervical cancer. Stephen Teep's wife, Irene, died from the disease in 2017. She was only 35 years of age and she left behind two young boys. Stephen, you're welcome to the programme. Thank you for taking our call this morning. How are you feeling?
Oh, it's been a very difficult day and a bit. Waking up yesterday morning, getting that call of Vicky's passing, trying to make sense of it all, was, I suppose, a very difficult thing to process through the emotions of everything. I think somewhere along the way, we all got blindsided by Vicky's strength. I know I certainly did, and somehow forgot that this day would come, or maybe more chose to not think about this day ever coming. And now that it has, it's just all been very real trying to process this yesterday. But I think waking up this morning is another tough day for other reasons, because as the shock of yesterday starts to fade away, we're now waking up to the realization that our friend is no longer at the end of that phone. Our friend won't be returning our messages anymore. And there's this massive empty space now beside us all our friends, all our family, that Vicky's massive, loving, courageous, wonderful personality once filled, has left behind and may never be filled again. And I suppose, obviously, I've been down this road myself. I've been on this road now for 5 and a bit years, and what Vicky was first and foremost, and most importantly, was a mother. And her beautiful kids, Amelia and Darren, now waking up this morning, day one, without their mum, is just, and it's heartbreaking and very real. They're just two incredible kids. They're, they're cut from the same cloth as Vicky, so they wouldn't be anything else. Her husband, Jim, who's been an absolute rock of support, caring for Vicky, caring for her kids, trying to keep everything going, waking up this morning now without his wife. And my thoughts also going to John and Gabby, Vicky's parents. Do you know, it's in the wrong order. No parent should have to bury their child, and they're waking up this morning now without their beautiful daughter. So I think the reality of it all now, today for us all, on our first day of grieving Vicky and missing her personality and everything that is Vicky feeling, is now starting to become very real for us all.
Stephen, can you talk about the last time you saw her?
Yeah, so for the last number of weeks and months for me, because it was, I suppose Vicky was in and out of Milford and having different bits and pieces, going through different bits and pieces, it was difficult to get up to her because I'm here with my kids as well. So a lot of WhatsApp calls. And, it was just the usual chat, just a quick catch up on her health. And then we just go back to business of our friendship, you know, and catching up on what's happening with our lives and everything else. And, you know, like Vicky has just a wonderful personality and a great sense of humour. And we had a great friendship. Anyone that's friends or has met Vicky knows too well what an incredible personality she had and the ease it is to talk to her. So for a lot of it, it was just, you know, just continuing where we left off in our last conversation. But I think you could see there was changes in Vicky over the last couple of weeks and months, obviously, as she tried to navigate through battling cancer. And I suppose it took a massive ordeal for her family and everybody. But, you know, she was still upbeat when she would take the calls and give you a call. So, it's we're going to miss her. Everybody is going to miss her an awful lot.
When did you first meet? How did that come about, Stephen?
Vicky, as you know, I suppose, we all remember that incredible moment on the 25th of April 2018 when Vicky stood in front of the High Court after winning her case. And what I think what was most shocking about that moment wasn't just Vicky winning her case and here we go again, another woman of Ireland being harmed by the medical system. It was Vicky standing up. It was a massive show of strength, courage and compassion of others. Strength because she was terminally ill and very sick. And to just be physically standing there making that massive statement. The courage to turn against the system and say, no, you're not going to silence me. And I will take you on. And the compassion for others, because what drove her to do all that was knowing that there were so many other people affected, people like my late wife Irene and many others. And while there was absolutely nothing for her to gain from doing this act, it was for everyone else. So that was the first time that I would have seen her. But it wasn't until I got the call and about Irene being dragged into this audit a couple of days later that I actually reached out to Vicky through a mutual friend, and that's when we got talking. And when we first met was about 2 weeks later, when we both got the call to go up to the Public Accounts Committee in Leinster House. And we met on the Cork-Dublin train at Limerick Junction, and we knew exactly, we had plans to meet each other and take the rest of the journey up. And, you know, we just hit it off from day one. And, it's a friendship a short friendship, something certainly I will hold dearly for the rest of my life.
What was she like in those meetings with politicians, with health officials? How was she?
She was fierce, full of passion, full of drive. Vicky would walk into a room and everybody stood to attention. She had that personality. But she did it with that beautiful personality and that, you know, that cheeky grin that she has. She would do it with that. But when she needed to get serious, she got very serious. Like, Vicky is a warrior, but at the same time, like, she is the most gentlest of souls, and that always came out. And while she can be very serious when she needs to be, she's got a fantastic and wonderful sense of humour. And like I say, she can be fierce, but she is the kindest person you'll ever meet. And all of that in every meeting I sat next to her in came across. And for someone like me who was having my own fight and trying to deliver my own, say, agendas in these meetings, to have someone like her as a rock of support to lean on, and, you know, and even more than that, she'd give you a nudge to keep you going, and if you needed a kick, sure, she'll give you that too. She was just an amazing person, and I think anybody that's ever sat in a meeting with her would agree with me.
And you and others, Stephen, will continue her work. That is what she wanted. And the thing which sparked all of this, not being told critical things about her own health by her own clinicians, that is still not legislated for, despite promises going back to 2015 by the then Health Minister, Leo Varadkar, and his successor, Simon Harris, mandatory open disclosure. How necessary is that now?
The truth starts with the truth and ends with the truth. And that's everything and the backbone to everything Vicky fought for. And of course, this is everything that we will continue to fight for. Transparency in the system. The right for people to know what it is that is going on, especially with their bodies. The right for women particularly to stand up for themselves, to have that support, to be able to do so, not to be afraid, and to be given the respect and the space to do so and be comfortable enough to be in a position to ask the questions, but also the willingness to who you're asking to give those answers. It's very important to have those open disclosure processes, accountability for those that refuse to follow the system. And there's still an awful lot of work to be done today. There's still a shift in that culture within our healthcare system that needs to be changed. There's still a minority within the system that still try and prop it up and hold it up. But I think with people like Vicky, myself, Lorraine, and many others, we are slowly shifting change, and we see it ourselves within the system. But, unless it comes from the top, from the government, unless they get going on what they said they would do and stop dragging everything out, we will continue this fight for a very long time, for as long as we have to. And we'll do it in Vicky's name for sure. She started the process. She's now handed it over to us. And there's plenty of us here.
Well, she will never be forgotten, that is certain. Stephen, thank you for paying such a beautiful tribute to your friend this morning. Stephen Teep paying tribute to Vicky Phelan, 8:27.